A tech columnist digs into the secret life of his data, and it gets crazy. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. So, yeah, you have this kind of vague sense that your devices and services are trading your data for advertising, but it's still shocking to find out exactly how much your gadgets and services and even your browser are tracking what you do. Jeffrey Fowler is a technology columnist for The Washington Post. Over the last few months, he's been running experiments on the products he uses every day, from the Amazon Echo to the iPhone to the Google Chrome browser. The results have been pretty eye-opening. And not in the good way. He reported on how Amazon stores all your Echo recording failures indefinitely, how the iPhone lets thousands of third-party data trackers suck all kinds of information while you sleep, and how Chrome outdid Apple big time by letting more than 11,000 trackers watch his browsing in a single week. Jeffrey Fowler joins me for Quality Assurance, the segment where we take a deeper look at a big tech story. And he said, basically, yikes.
I am shocked at the scale of the surveillance and the tracking and some of the things that companies are able to learn about me. This project I've been doing, I sort of, in my own head, call it the secret life of my data. And I've just been going through running experiments on things that I take for granted in my life, like my Chrome browser. And every time I do it, I kind of come away a little more concerned about what these things are doing kind of by default.
One of the pieces you wrote that really surprised me was about the iPhone. Which is, you know, like you said, some companies are promising privacy by default, but there was still plenty of data tracking.
Totally. You may remember at CES, Apple put up a big billboard trying to sort of thumb its nose at the rest of the tech industry. And this billboard says, what happens on your iPhone stays on your iPhone. So what I did is, with the help of some nerds, one of whom used to work for the NSA, I hooked up my iPhone to some software that captured all the data that kind of went in and out overnight while I slept. And it was an insane amount of data that was flowing. Well, my screen was off. I wasn't touching the phone. And when I dug into it, I found a lot of it was personally identifiable information. It was flowing out to companies I had never heard of.
You know, I'm like exhausted as a consumer, as I think you are too. You know, Apple will say, or Facebook will say, or Google will say, well, we have all these settings. And if you just enable these settings, then you don't have to be spied on to this extent. Is that realistic for American consumers to have to do all of this work themselves?
I totally agree. It is not realistic. These companies say that they give us controls and knobs that we can adjust. It's kind of like saying, here's the cockpit of a 747. It has a lot of knobs and controls. Now you can fly a 747. And that is absolutely not the case. The point of me writing these columns is not just to kind of help people figure out how to navigate and what things they can adjust, but the bigger point is sort of to embarrass these tech companies, including the ones that like to go in front of the media, in front of Congress, and whoever will listen and say, we care about your privacy. Clearly, they're not doing enough. This shouldn't be about going in and making choices, as Google and Facebook like to say. You know, this should be about the technology having our interest at heart from the beginning. And I think one of the other big lessons of this whole period we've been going through, 2018, 2019, is that we have to ask the question, you know, what is the business model of the companies that we're doing business with? You know, when you choose a product, a website to use, something to put into your house, you really have to ask, okay, how are they going to make money? Because as the old adage goes, if the product is free, then you're the product.
Right. If you had to kill one, you know, if you lined them all up, I feel like I know the answer to this question, but which one really surprised you? Which product scares you the most?
Chrome. I feel like Google has escaped a lot of the critical lens of the last couple of years. And I think people don't realize how much data it is truly collecting and what it's doing with it. But my experiments aren't over yet.
Jeffrey Fowler is a tech columnist for The Washington Post. And now for some related links. You will find links to Fowler's stories on our website, marketplacetech.org. On the subject of web trackers, there's a funny story over at Wired this week. Funny cry, not funny haha. about how even though lots of politicians say that Facebook needs to do more to protect user privacy, many of those same politicians have websites that include embedded Facebook trackers that are sharing information about what users visit those sites back to Facebook. So then if you have a Facebook account and you visit the page, then Facebook adds this information to your profile. Oh, and here's a fun wrinkle. Fun terrible, not like fun fun. The trackers on Senator Josh Hawley's site, Republican from Missouri, take note of everyone who donates and how much they donate and sends that back to Facebook as well. The article is careful to point out that this is not an oversight. These web trackers have to be explicitly authorized. Data scientist Hamdan Azhar wrote the piece and writes that the websites of 81 senators, 176 members of the House of Representatives, virtually every presidential candidate and President Trump are all sharing information with Facebook. I mean, that's clout right there. Some clout Facebook has. I'm just going to go ahead and start my weekend now. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. Jody Becker was our senior producer this week. Dan Powell is tragically leaving Marketplace and has been a great engineer, and we will miss him very much. I'm Molly Wood. This is APM. Part of being a responsible news organization, especially one that covers business and the economy, is fiscal responsibility. Marketplace's budget year ends on June 30th, and we're closing in on our goal of 2,500 donors for this drive, but we still need to hear from you. Even a gift of just $5 will make a difference. Please donate now at marketplace.org, and thank you.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.